In the first reading today, the prophet Jeremiah tells us something that might strike us as rather strange. Cursed are those who trust in human beings. We all have to trust somebody. Why are we cursed? Well, he's not saying that you're cursed if you trust your spouse or you trust your parents or something like that, but rather what he's saying is if we are putting our trust in people, in things, in money, rather than in God, we're in trouble. We're in trouble because all of those things are going to pass away. None of those things, or even none of those people, can get us to heaven. Only God can. And so if we're going to put our trust in people and what they think of us, how they accept us, we're going to be in trouble. And a lot of people live their lives that way. We live our lives for money, we live our lives for material things, we live our lives for what people think of us and what our position is and what our title is and whatever else it might be. All of that's going to go away. But if that's the focus of our lives, rather than having God as the focus, where are we really preparing for eternity becomes the question. So if we look at the question then again and ask ourselves, do I really trust God? I would be willing to bet that almost everybody here would say, oh yeah, no problem, I trust God. Yeah, then we have to say, as long as I have plenty in the bank, as long as my car is running well, as long as my health is in good order, as long as everything is good, yeah, trusting God, no problem. That's not the real question. Listen again to what our Lord had to say. Blessed are you who are poor. Blessed are you who are hungry. Blessed are you who are weeping. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and denounce your name as evil. Is that what we would look at as blessings? As opposed to the opposite, woe to you who are rich, who are filled, who laugh when people speak well of you. In America, we tend to look at the rich and say, oh, look at how much God has blessed those people. Oh, they're so blessed. Look at all that they've got. God says, woe to you. Not I blessed you, but woe to you. Well, we look at it and say, well, poverty and hunger and weeping, is that what I want? Or let's just look at the next point and let's take a little poll. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but just ask yourself. The Lord says, blessed are you when they hate you, when they exclude you, when they insult you, when they denounce your name as evil. He says, rejoice and leap for joy on that day. So the last time that you were excluded, the last time you weren't invited, the last time that you were the butt of the gossip, how many of you said, praise the Lord, what a gift? Yeah, I didn't think so. So do we really trust God? Most of us don't. But this has massive implications. Because remember, Jesus told us that if we're not trustworthy in small matters, we're not going to be trustworthy in the big ones. So if we go back to the second reading, the question has to do with the resurrection of the dead. Now, at that point, some people were saying, there is no such a thing as a resurrection from the dead. Well, as Paul points out, if Jesus isn't risen from the dead, then our faith is useless. This is stupidity. What are we doing here? So in other words, we're looking at it and saying our faith is that we're going to rise from the dead. Our faith is that Jesus opened heaven for us and we can go to heaven and we can be with God for eternity. So think about this for a minute. You're going to say, I trust God to raise old brother donkey here, my body, from the dead. I trust God that he can bring my body and my soul to heaven and I can live with him forever. But I can't trust God with my money. And I can't trust him with my material things. But I can trust him to bring me to heaven. Really? If he's not trustworthy in the small things, he's not going to be trustworthy in the big ones. And if we can't trust him with our things, we certainly aren't going to be able to trust him with our souls. If we can't trust him with the things of time and of earth, how are we going to trust him with things of eternity in heaven? We can't. Now, the problem is that trust, like any virtue, only grows when it's tested. And if it was a one-and-done kind of thing, well, this would be relatively easy, and we could just say, all right, I need to go through this little trial, and everything will be fine. I can trust. No, unfortunately, what happens is that we get put in situations where we have to trust. And when we make it through, we've maybe grown about maybe that much in trust, which means that it has to happen over and over and over and over again. And it keeps getting a little more difficult because God keeps asking the question, do you really trust me? Now you see where the difficulty is that if there's something that we would ask of one another, we can call that person. We can check in. We can see how things are coming. With God, doesn't work that way. And because God, all he has to do is speak the word and it happens, there's not even a matter that, oh yeah, well, he should be about halfway done with the project by now. And he does it in a split second. So there's no checking to see how things are coming. There's nothing tangible there that we can grab onto. Which means that we actually really have to trust. Then what God does is that he pushes it. So in other words, we have the deadline in our mind of when something needs to be done. And then he'll push it right up to that deadline. And he'll say, do you still trust me? And if we can pass that test, then he'll push it beyond the deadline. Of course, what we thought was the deadline and what he thinks is the deadline are oftentimes two different things. So it's beyond our deadline, and he keeps saying, do you trust me? If we keep on doing it, then he pushes it further beyond the deadline and says, do you still trust me? Now, we also have to recognize that what we look at and what God looks at are, again, two oftentimes different things. We've got this idea that if I trust God, he's going to give me everything that I want. And so I should have my mansion. I should have my fancy sports car. I should have a fat bank account. And then when God doesn't provide the money to pay the house payment on my mansion, then I'm going to say, I don't trust God. Maybe God's looking at it and saying, you don't really need the mansion. Maybe he's going to say, you don't really need that new Lamborghini. Maybe he's going to say, you can get to the same place in a rusted out Volkswagen. Do we trust him? Because he's going to take away the things that stand between us and our ability to get to heaven. He's going to take away the things that get in the way of our spiritual life, which tends to be things like money and material things and our reputation. So maybe you don't care about money. Maybe money's not a big deal to you. But maybe what people think of you is a big deal. Well, then God isn't going to worry about your money because you're not. But he's going to run you through the ringer with regard to people gossiping about you, people cutting you out of things, dragging you through the mud, whatever it might be. If your new sports car is what your life is all about, God's going to take it away. The people who I know who have learned to trust God completely, number one, they have no worries. So in America, where anxiety is off the charts, which tells us that we do not trust God, or we wouldn't be anxious and worried about everything. But the people who have learned to trust God, who have gone through all of these things, they don't worry about anything. They have no anxiety. Nor do they have a bank account, nor do they have a retirement account. And if you ask them, where's your house payment going to come from? They say, I don't know. God will provide. They have no idea how it's going to happen. God will take care of it, and he does. How's this going to get done? How's that going to mean? I don't know. God will take care of it, and he does. That's what we all need to look at. Perhaps what we need to do is look at the image of divine mercy. And remember that Jesus could have asked St. Faustina to put anything underneath that picture. Instead, he said, write, Jesus, I trust in you. Really? Do we? Maybe we all need to make sure that we've got a picture of divine mercy hanging someplace where we see it regularly. And maybe we can just keep saying that to ourselves so that we can actually start developing this trust in God. Because again, as I said earlier, this has eternal consequences. If we cannot trust God with our day-to-day lives, how are we ever going to trust him with eternity? If we can't trust that he wants what's best for us, then how can we trust him at all? And remember, what he thinks is best for us is not necessarily what we think is best for us. Like I said earlier, we might think, well, what's best for me is to be rich, to have a mansion, to have fancy cars, to have all kinds of the fanciest clothes, to be impressive, and people think that I'm some sort of wonderful individual. God might look at it and say, no, if you had those things, you would lose your eternal salvation. That's not what's best for you. So we really have to look seriously at this question. Because what God wants for you is to be a saint. And we've all read enough lives of the saints to know that they all got put through the mill. They got dragged through the mud. All the things Jesus talked about, that's what they experienced. They were poor, they were hungry, they were weeping, they were insulted, all the different things. And on the natural level, we might look at it and say, I don't want that. But if that's what's going to make you a saint and bring you to heaven, and if the things that we want are going to do just the opposite and bring us away from heaven, then which do we really want? That's the real question. The Lord wants us to trust him. In fact, he told Faustina that one of the things that is the most difficult for him is that people do not trust him. That's why he had her put that underneath the picture. So if we are going to be cursed if we don't trust God, and we're going to be blessed if we do, and as he pointed out, if we trust God, even when it's a drought, the tree still is green and it still bears fruit. It doesn't worry. It shows no sign of distress. That's what we will be like. Think what your life would be like with no worries, with no anxiety. That's what God wants for you. He wants you to be at peace. That can only happen when our focus is on him and when we trust him. So that's what he's asking us all to do, to trust. So we all have to ask ourselves, do I want to trust him? If these are the things that are going to follow. But let's look beyond the things of this world, because they're all going to go away. What is going to last for eternity is God and you. So don't trust anybody else, because they can't get you to heaven. Only God can. Don't trust your money. Don't trust your car. Don't trust your house. Don't trust all the junk. It's all going to go away. Eventually, the car is going to rust out. The house is going to fall down eventually. Maybe hundreds of years from now, who knows? Who cares? You're going to leave it all behind. But what will not be left behind is your own self. So like I said, this has eternal implications. Allow the Lord to show you that he is faithful and trustworthy in the small things. Because then when it comes to the salvation of your soul, you can trust him completely to raise you from the dead and to bring you to eternal life in heaven.